Well, y'all sound good. You doing all right? Yeah, this beautiful hot summer weekend, huh? 4th of July weekend. Anybody got plans today? Anybody this weekend? Good stuff. All right. Hey, thank you for being here this morning. I know that when you live on the Nature Coast, there's a lot of other places you could be at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning on the 4th of July weekend. So I'm thankful that you're here. We're having a great time worshiping together. If you're out on the boat and you're somehow watching right now, thanks for watching, or maybe out fishing or something like that. Probably came to first service and then, poop, see ya, I'm out of here. But we are here. July, can you believe it? Now, we had a great, great month of June. We started this sermon series called Unshakable Kids Camp, which you've already seen the video on. It was an incredible, incredible week. Our volunteers killed it all week long. There were probably like 80 middle school all the way up into like 80-year-old people here serving God and doing amazing things. Yeah. Kids everywhere. Just an incredible, incredible week. And now we launch into this brand new month, July. And we're celebrating 4th of July weekend. Did you know this is, I think, our 247th 4th of July celebration as a country? That's pretty cool, right? So happy birthday to us, America. And also, July is special because not only because of 4th of July and we're celebrating the birth of our nation, but I'm also celebrating my 40th birthday this July. No, I'm serious. 40 years ago this month, on July 24th, I was baptized into Christ and began my walk with him. And I'll let you do the math. I was 17 years old. Best decision I ever made in my life. I tell you what, you talk about unshakable. When you give your life to an unshakable God and you see him working on a daily basis for 40 years of your life, y'all know, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. It's incredible, incredible blessing. And July is also special because this very weekend, the first weekend in July, 18 years ago, is when Lisa and I and our family were given to CCW in ministry. We came here as a family to CCW, to Spring Hill, Wikiwachi, and for 18 years ago already. It feels like just yesterday. So we're celebrating that anniversary this very week, and we thank God for that. It's to be in a family like CCW, you know, and this is really the greatest place on earth to be able to do life with. And we're just so thankful for each and every person that's invested in us, and we get to do life together and share this life that we call walking with Jesus together. What a blessing. And July reminds me of those things, and I love that. So pretty special time. It's also a time when we say, you know, we are in the middle of this series called Unshakable. This is something we started a couple weeks ago. Now we're right in the middle of the book of Daniel and pretty excited about where God has led us. Hopefully you've been reading along with us and you're tracking, and you know Daniel, this incredible prophet in the Old Testament. In fact, he was one of the major prophets. He was a Jewish prophet who lived for God. He served God. He preached. He prophesied. He interpreted dreams and visions. We have seen him do this on the pages of Scripture all along the series. He's experienced powerful miracles. And all of this 600 years before the Messiah, who he predicted would come, Jesus, actually came to earth. 600 years. So for the past 4 weeks, we've seen how in the book of Daniel, this unshakable God has done unshakable things, and what unshakable faith looks like, whether Daniel was going through success in his life, because he did, or whether he was going through challenges, because Daniel went through many challenges, and he was unshakable all along the way. We've seen how he and his friends were taken from into exile, away from their families, away from their parents, and they were delivered into the wicked city of Babylon. In their time, we've seen that they have faced kings, crazy kings, kings who chop people's heads off and who see visions and all this kind of stuff. We've seen them in front of queens and fiery furnaces and wild parties like last week with this writing on the wall and temptations and all this kind of stuff, these visions that they would have. What an amazing book that Daniel has given us and that God has given us. I hope that you'll take the chance, if you haven't done so already, to go back and to listen to the sermons and that have been preached during this series. We've seen four different ways already that we can have an unshakable faith in God, no matter what life throws at us. We've discovered chapter 1 and 2, that we must know our identity, and we can know our identity. Daniel shows us this. We have to know who we are, no matter where we are. Week number two, chapter number two, we learn that our identity is absolutely grounded in who God is, and that we can live a God-first life. Week three, we learned about unshakable worship. Even in the face of a fiery furnace, our worship can help us be unshakable every single time. Worship. And then last week, we looked at chapters four and five, and we learned that pride comes before the fall, but we can stand strong with unshakable humility, just like Daniel did, just like Jesus did. And today we're going to be inspired by Daniel's unshakable integrity. Integrity. We're going to look at one of the most famous stories in the whole Bible, Daniel and the lion's den. Yeah, you guys know the story? Daniel and the lion's den. Maybe you've heard it before. We're going to go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Daniel chapter 6. If you need a Bible, that there are some Bibles in front of you in the chairs, you can go ahead and grab one of those, and you're going to find it on those in those Bibles on page 743. Daniel chapter 6. I'm sorry, I can't sit down. Daniel and the lion's den. Man, this is seriously one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. In fact, I learned this story before I even started following Jesus. I mean, who doesn't like, even a kid that never goes to church, who doesn't like a story of a great hero, a brave hero, and hungry lions, right? And what's going to happen? Maybe you heard the story in books or storybooks or seen it in cartoons or something like I did. And then one day you discovered that it was in scripture and it's actually true. And it's like, what in the world? And as I went to Bible college, I get to learn about this stuff, and it's pretty cool. And then I think it was my junior year. About my junior year, we were required in school to do this live Old Testament walkthrough for the community. We would reenact all kinds of things in scriptures, different stories, and our team was blessed to be able to do, guess what? Yeah, Daniel in the Lion's Den. Pretty cool. We fixed up the media room where you can see inside the window. We made it up like a lion's den. And back then, you couldn't just go on Amazon and order a lion's suit or costume, and you couldn't go down to the nearest costume. So we had to find a lion costume somewhere in town and drove all the way into Orlando to rent this lion suit that God knows how many other people have ever worn and bring it back to the school. And I got to wear this lion suit. It was hot. Oh, my goodness, it was hot. But it was so much fun because all these people would come walking through all ages and be hiding behind the window and jump up and scare them, you know, and then Daniel would come and, you know, pet the lion kind of thing. It was just a lot of fun. In family ministry, which we did for many, many years in ministry, Daniel and the Lion's Den, a favorite story, vacation Bible school, Sunday school. In fact, again, being able to create a lion's den and bring the lion, you know, in the costume or whatever and scare the kids as they came in and, you know, and then show that God is faithful and unshakable and all this kind of stuff. Just a lot of fun to do this story. So it's pretty special to me. And I think it's special to a lot of us as well. You've heard the story. You've heard the story. But what I want to see today is that there is a lot more to the story. A lot more than just this brave hero being tortured by getting thrown into a room full of cats, which sounds like torture to me. I tolerate cats, okay? So anybody else, you guys cat lovers, all right, don't take this story personally. We're talking about lions here, okay? It's a story not just about that, but about Daniel's unshakable integrity and trusting in a God who saves, an unshakable God. So integrity, what is integrity? When I say that word, what do you think of? Just throw some words at me. Honesty. Honesty. Wow, I heard that. Yeah, like a chorus. All right, yeah, what other words? Huh? Okay, yep, following through, being faithful, anything else? Integrity, doing the right thing. Yeah, integrity. We kind of know that. We even may think of a person when we think of that word, integrity, or think of a time in our life when we experienced or saw or witnessed integrity. The dictionary describes it this way. It's adhering to a code of strong moral values or strong artistic values. Integrity. It's being incorruptible, honest, upright, being complete, integrity. And as we go through the story today, here's what I want you to get. Integrity. Integrity is crucial to being unshakable in the lion's den that we call life. Because there's a good chance that unless you've had a really bad day at Busch Gardens and fallen into a den of lions yourself, you're not going to face real life lions. But today, as we read this story, I want you to think about this in the context of your everyday life. The fact that this very life that we live in is our lion's den. And integrity is crucial to being unshakable in the lion's den of your life. So as you look at Daniel 6, hope you got it open. Here's a little bit of background. By chapter 6, Daniel, the great prophet, has come a long way from the teenage kid that we saw taken into exile back in chapter 1. He was a teenager then. Now he's probably over 80 years old. He's one of the highest ranking government officials in all of the empire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they've disappeared off the pages by this time. We don't know what they're up to. But as we learned last week in chapter 5, Josh taught us that King Belshazzar had thrown this big party. You remember that? With the writing on the wall. And the Medes and the Persians were 50 miles away, ready to attack Babylon. Daniel told him this was going to happen. And now, chapter 6, this has already happened. This has happened. Medo-Persians come in, Babylon has fallen. They are no longer the city that they were before. The Medo-Persian Empire has begun. There's a new king in charge, and his name is Darius, King Darius. So if you're tracking, okay, kings. Kings have come, and kings have gone. Administrations have changed. Kingdoms have fallen. And Daniel has remained unshakable through all of it. And one reason I believe that Daniel got this far for so long was because of his life of unshakable integrity and trusting God all along the way. Daniel's integrity set him apart. In fact, set him apart in a new way that this new king, it wasn't uncommon for new kings to get rid of everybody and just bring in the people they trusted. Well, this new king, Darius, kept Daniel on the royal payroll, and now he's set to promote him. So don't make any mistake. What we're about to read might be Daniel's highlight reel, one of his top 10 plays, but it's the power of God working through the integrity of Daniel. Day after day, choice after choice, for decades, that brought him to this point. Daniel has carried this unshakable integrity, this trust in God with him his entire life, wherever he has gone, and now even facing a den of hungry lions. So Daniel chapter 6. Verse 1 says, it pleased Darius, King Darius, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, these government officials, 120 to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account. So Daniel was one of the top three, so that the king might suffer no loss. The king's going to be well supported in his campaign here. Now look at verse 3. Watch this. Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Distinguished, highly regarded. You see what's happening here with Daniel. He is over 80 years old at this point, and he's being promoted. His integrity is still intact. Daniel hasn't retired. He hasn't backed down. He hasn't quit. He is still in the game. In fact, the Bible says an excellent spirit is in him. It's integrity. Verse 4, the high officials, the satraps, they seek to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. So these other officials, they are not happy with the fact that Daniel is going to be over even them now. They're starting to set this plot in place. They're jealous. They're threatened by Daniel. So, and I know this is going to sound crazy because politicians never, ever, ever do this. Okay? But they try to find dirt on Daniel. All right, they start to dig up anything they can. He's been living life in the public eye. Certainly there's something that they can find to cancel him out, to get him out of this position. But look what happens. They could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. You believe that? All the digging they did and all they could find was Daniel's integrity. 60 years of public service now. He has been at this all this time, and here he is, unshakable integrity. That is amazing to me. Verse 5, these men, they get together, they say, we shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel. Can't find anything on this guy unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So they're together, and they're like, we're not going to find anything against Daniel's integrity, so let's go after the obvious faith that he has. Let's trap him in his convictions. We can't nail him in that. Let's nail him in this, his unshakable relationship with God and his commitment to God's law. Man, would that be said of us? Pretty incredible. So they get together and they start thinking, okay, what can we do to Daniel? We know he's going to be doing this and doing that. Verse 6, they devise this plot. The high officials, they all come together by agreement to the king, and they say to the king, O King Darius, live forever. See, they're buttering up here. Verse 7, all the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, satraps, counselors, governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction. You got to make this law happen, that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, verse 8, establish this injunction, sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked under any circumstances. 30 days. Nobody prays to anybody but you, king. In verse 9, King Darius signs the document, signs the injunction. So these officials, they begin to put this thing together. This is a power move. They go after the king's ego. They go after his paranoia. And we have seen this in all the other kings before Darius. Kings are paranoid. They're egotistical. They're always afraid somebody's going to come in and try to take their throne or make them look bad. Or, you know, so the bad guys come to Darius. And again, they say, for 30 days, this is a great plan. 30 days, only 30 days. But if anybody prays to anyone other than you, Darius, then we're going to throw them into the lion's den. What do you think? This will show you who's loyal to you, who's not loyal to you, who's got your back and who doesn't. And Darius goes for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Signs the whole thing, all of it. Ooh, what is going to happen to Daniel? Now keep in mind, Darius really likes Daniel. We're going to see this in a second. He's got a relationship with Daniel, but now he's put even Daniel in a tough spot. See, Daniel knew this document had been signed. And now he has a life or death decision to make. Is Daniel going to choose to pray only to Darius and live? Or is he going to stand unshakable on his identity, and his worship, humility, and integrity before God? What is Daniel going to do? Is he going to compromise his faith and convictions and go with the king's order? Or is he going to stand? What would you do in this situation? What would you do? I got to ask myself that question. I run and hide. I stand up and go, well, I'll pray to whoever I want to, you know, and see how that goes. And what would you do? Look at what Daniel does. Verse 10. Daniel knew that the document had been signed, and he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. So he had a place to go, and he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Integrity, faithfulness. Daniel does what he has always done. as he had done previously, three times a day. He prays anyways, unshaken. You see, Daniel's integrity to himself and to his God leads him to pray and to give thanks, even in the face of a death sentence, even in the face of deadly lions. And we're going to talk more about Daniel's prayer life in a couple weeks. But for now, what you need to know is that the plot was in place. What these bad guys had going on was working. They have Daniel right where they knew that he would be. Verse 11, these men, they come by agreement and they find Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Of course they did. So they come around and they say before the king, they go running to the king concerning the injunction. Oh, king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Remember that? And the king answers and says, yeah, that thing stands fast. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, what cannot be revoked under any circumstances. Yes, I remember. And then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, you know, Daniel, the one who from the exiles of Judah, he pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but he makes his petition three times a day. Big fat tattletales. Daniel, you know Daniel. Yeah, they go and tell on him. And the king, when he hears these words, he's distressed. Remember, he likes Daniel. He's promoting Daniel. And he sets his mind to deliver Daniel. I got to get him out of this. And in fact, he labors until the sun goes down to rescue Daniel. But he can't. Even the king can't save Daniel because of the law that he has signed. So these men, they come to agreement again to the king, and they say to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persian that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Like, it is set in stone. There's nothing you can do about it. So Darius can't save Daniel. Daniel can't save himself. And here we go. Verse 16, so the king commands, and Daniel is brought forth and cast into the den of lions. Now, at this point in your story, my children's minister thing is kicking in, so I got to hear your lion's roar right now, all right? Is that okay? All right, let me hear your lion's roar. Let me hear it. Daniel is cast into the den of lions. Let me hear you. All right, that wasn't bad. It's kind of more like a purr, but that's okay. If you got a real roar, you can say it. You can just do it anytime you want. You hear the word lions, just go for it, all right? But he's cast into the den of lions. All right, yeah, a den of hungry cats. The kings of beasts. We're talking about, you know, think about that for a second. Then the king declares to Daniel, may your God, whom you can serve continually, deliver you. May your God, whom you serve continually, has seen Daniel's faith and integrity all this time, deliver you. A pagan king appealing to Daniel's unshakable integrity and the God that he serves to do what he can't even do, the impossible. Verse 17, a stone is brought and laid before the mouth of the den, and the king seals it with his own signet ring, puts it on there, and then the signet of the Lord's, and nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. It is done for. He is done for. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace, and he spends the night fasting. Now remember, man, it wasn't uncommon for kings in this day. They're showing off their power. Like, if you disobey the king or do something the king said not to do, they're going to show off their power and they're going to throw you in the lion's den, and then they're going to celebrate because look at me. Darius doesn't do this. He's upset. He goes back to his place and he fasts, and he says, I don't want any diversions. No music, no singers, no dancers, nothing. And sleep fled from him. He didn't sleep all night long. And then verse 19, at the break of day, the king himself rises up out of bed and he runs down to the lion's den. I mean, imagine this for a second. The king, he's like, he stops in front of the lion's den. What has happened? He comes near the den where Daniel was and he cries out in a tone of anguish. The king declares to Daniel, just imagine the king like yelling at this rock, wondering what. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Now, I don't know what Darius was expecting to hear. Maybe that. But I like to imagine just a little bit of silence. And then a voice. The voice of Daniel. And he says to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no harm. O king, live forever. Can you imagine hearing the voice of Daniel after that long night of not sleeping? My God has sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found, listen, blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, the king, he hears the voice of Daniel and he's exceedingly glad, and he commands that Daniel's taken up out of the den, and Daniel's taken up out of the den, and no harm was found on him, not a single scratch, because he had trusted in his God. So we're reading words like trust and blameless. We're talking about integrity and trusting God. And then verse 24, it gets kind of dark, because remember, this pagan king, he's not happy with these people who had that out for Daniel. And we see the consequences of evil. Verse 24, and I don't have time to get into this, but just look what happens. Verse 24, the king commanded, and those men who maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. And they and their children and their wives, before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces, devoured them. These were hungry lions, all right? It wasn't like these lions were fed and that's why they were chill with Daniel. That's not, there's a lot here, but just know the consequences of evil is death. But the story ends pretty cool, gets brighter. King Darius, he has seen all this, experienced all this firsthand, and now he praises the God of Daniel. And I love these verses. So what I'd like you to do this week is just kind of zero in on these verses, maybe in your meditation time. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to ask you to stand with me and read the words of Darius. Again, a pagan king, all right? Listen to what he says. It starts out this way. King Darius wrote to all the people, all the nations, all the languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. So this is for everybody. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, help me out here, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Yes, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be. Keep going. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Amen. Yes, you can have a seat. Thank you. Man, think about Darius is praising God. He has seen the faith of Daniel. He has seen the unshakable God at work, and now he gives him praise. And verse 28, Daniel prospers during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. We'll continue with the story next week, but what a story. Daniel in the lion's den. And what I have to ask you today is, what is God saying to you through this story? What action do we take as a church and as individuals, knowing that integrity is crucial, that trusting God is crucial to being unshakable in the lion's den of our lives? Well, the first thing we need to do is value integrity. Like, value it. What is more important to you than integrity? Because many times in life, if you're honest, and I'm honest with me, we compromise our integrity because we're trying to get ahead. Maybe we want to get that grade in school, so we cheat. Or maybe we want to have just a little bit of extra money, so we trim here and there. And some people would even steal and kill for money. We'll do things that we ordinarily wouldn't do, and we'll compromise our integrity in order to get something. Let me tell you today, integrity is priceless. Priceless. It is more valuable than anything. There's no substitute for integrity. And I'm so glad that my parents taught me this. And I'm so glad that the Lord teaches us this. And I'm so glad that other Christians have come around and taught me this, because the fact of the matter is I am not. And I'm not the smartest person or the fastest or the strongest. And I'm certainly not the most talented person in the world. But I can have integrity. And you can too. There's not a person in this room that cannot do the right thing. We have got to value integrity. It is priceless. And when we value integrity, we'll begin to ask integrity questions and make integrity decisions. One integrity question that we can all ask is, who am I when no one else is looking? Who am I when no one else is looking? Because it's easy to stand on stage or to walk through the hallways or put on a face and say the right thing. But what about when the lights are out and it's late at night, or you have an opportunity to do something no one else is going to know about, but you know? It's an integrity question. And an integrity decision is, what are we going to do ahead of time? Decide ahead of time to be the person of integrity. Don't wait until you're in the lion's den to decide to do the right thing or to trust God. Don't wait till you're in the lion's den to decide now to be true to God and who He is and who you truly are. Decide ahead of time to be honest. Decide ahead of time you are not going to cheat. You are going to tell the truth, to be upright, to do the right thing. When you're home alone, when you're scrolling on your phone, when you're at work, when you're at school or with friends, don't wait till temptation comes. Decide ahead of time how you're going to deal with that temptation. When that crisis happens, value integrity. Decide ahead of time that you're going to do the right thing and trust God with it. And as we value integrity, we must go the next step and live with integrity. Live integrity out, which means we need to be authentic with God and authentic with others. I tell you, this means for some of us, we need to get what's in the dark out into the light. We need to confess our sins. We say, hey, look, talk to God about what's going on in areas of integrity. Talk to somebody that you trust. You know, I love this about following Jesus, and I always have. Even as a young Christian, way back a long time ago, 40 years ago, I discovered that I could be me if I would just get all the other things out and say, look, I can live in freedom because I got nothing to hide now, and I'm forgiven and free to live for Jesus. We can be authentic with Him. We can be our true self. We can be real, be a person of truth. And I love this about our church. I love this about CCW. We can be real with each other, and we can encourage each other and pray for each other with integrity and towards integrity. Be authentic and be consistent. I think as we look at the life of Daniel, we see this just magnified. Consistency. Living with integrity consistently. And I found this quote months ago. And I saved it because I knew the series was coming. And I think it was from Craig Groeschel out in Preacher out in Oklahoma. I'm not even really sure. I just saved the quote. But I love what it says. Listen to this. Be consistent. Daniel stood strong and trusted God when he was thrown into a den of lions. To me, it's interesting to think about why Daniel was so confident in God's protection. When did Daniel learn to trust God? the answer. Daniel didn't learn to trust God in the lion's den. Daniel learned in his prayer closet. His faith wasn't built in the battle. His faith was built on his knees. He had consistently sought after the heart of God 3 times a day, day after day, week after week, month after month. He consistently worshiped and sought God. So why is it that we often lack faith? Why are we inconsistent in our relationship with God? What's the difference? It's because Daniel prayed consistently, and we pray occasionally. It's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's not what we do occasionally that makes us unshakable. It's what we do consistently. Live with integrity. Live with integrity, no matter what. See, Daniel knew who he was, no matter where he was. He knew his God. And he was unshakable in his worship and his humility, and he stayed grounded his whole life in integrity. Everyday decisions, everyday choices, all of his relationships, even his spiritual practices like prayer. Because Daniel knew what we can know. Being with God, and knowing that God is with us. Man, there's just nothing like it. He's with us always, even in the lion's den of life, especially in the lion's den of life. And y'all, it is not by our power, and it is not by our strength, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. We have sung about it. We have heard about it during community. God's spirit is in us. And we abide in Christ, and his power shows up and rescues and saves us. And today, I just want you to hear this from the life of Daniel. Trust in the God who saves. Trust in the God who saves. This life is your lion's den. Who will you trust in? Who will you trust in? I said this in week one, Daniel's name is on the book, but God is the hero of this story. And Daniel's integrity merely points us to the integrity of God, points us to the faithfulness of God, points us to an unshakable God. He is faithful. God is faithful to save us from death. He is faithful to walk us out of this lion's pit of life and live forever and ever and ever and ever. It is God who saves us. Yes, in the lion's den that Daniel was in, he sent an angel to the lion's den to close their mouths. And in the mouth, in the lion's den of life, God sends help to save you and I. God sent his one and only Son to save us, Jesus. He sent his Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us and to comfort us and to lead us along the way. He sent us his word to come alive by the power of the Spirit. He sent his church to come alongside and to help us as we live for him together. God has sent us help, and he has saved us through Jesus. The lion's den of life, man, we're all in this. Let's be honest, we're in this. And all the integrity in the world is not going to get us out of facing the lions. But integrity can lead us and can lead others to the one who can save us from the lions. And Daniel points to the God who saves. In fact, he points us to the Messiah. And we're going to see this in the remaining chapters. He points us to Jesus. He points us to the only way to walk out of this lion's pit of life, to live forever in heaven with our Father in eternity. So trust in and follow the God who saves. See, the Lord that Daniel knew, and the Lord that we can know today, the Lord who closed the jaws of the lions for Daniel, closed the jaws of death once and for all and forever by giving his perfect Son, Jesus, to die for your sins and mine on the cross, so that all of us who believe in him and follow him as Lord of our lives can live, can walk out of here and live forever. And you can do that today. If you've never made a decision for Jesus, I hope that you'll consider that today, that you'll believe in the Christ who can save you, that you'll confess him as Lord, that you can turn your life over to him, repent of your sins and your old life, and be baptized into Christ and into a brand new life in Jesus. You can do that today. There'll be prayer partners up here. They can pray with you. Our leaders, maybe somebody who invited you to worship today, will have that conversation with you. Discover the God who saves and walk with him the rest of your life and out of this life and into the next, because we are in this together. And if you're like me and you're following Jesus, but you're facing lions in your life, you know what they are. You know what you're going through. You know where you are being. You're facing even in the areas of integrity in your life. You're tempted to compromise. The good news is we can face those lions with unshakable integrity, trusting in the God who saves. So this week, I hope you'll practice. We've been talking about this all series long, but just get alone with God. Find time with the Lord, maybe even 3 times a day, like Daniel. Just sit with him. Hear his voice and let him tell you what you need to do, what your next step might be. Today we've read through Daniel 6, and in just a moment I'd like to spend like just 3 minutes of silence just to show you that we can do this. Find your upper room like Daniel did and sit and pray. So read Daniel 6 this week. Meditate on verses 26 and 27. Spend time in prayer and thanksgiving like Daniel did. In fact, I would encourage you to maybe start a thankfulness journal. Like maybe write down all the things you're thankful for, and when those lions start roaring, look at that list and be thankful. And surround yourself with integrity. Surround yourself with integrity. Surround yourself with people of integrity, because there are people out there that are going to help you compromise who you know you are and who God is. Surround yourself with people. Go to the places of integrity. Stay away from the places that are gonna force you out. Entertainment, the choices we make, the things we watch, the music we listen to. Good company builds good character. Join a small group. If you need counseling, get the counseling. Join Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday night. Find a place to be authentic, to be real. Know that you're in a place right here, right now, a CCW, where a church that values integrity, authenticity. So right now, the band's gonna come up. In just a moment, we're gonna sing a song called Stand in Your Love. And before we do that, I just wanna spend like 3 minutes in silence before God, that you would allow him to search your heart, maybe even in areas of integrity. That if you need to make a choice for him today, that you might listen to his voice. If you need to get on your knees, you can get on your knees. If you want to come up front and pray, we can do that too. But let's just be silent before God. And in Jesus' name, allow the Spirit to search our hearts, to lead us in the way of integrity, and to trust in the God who saves. Let's be quiet and listen. Jesus.